Welcome to part three and the conclusion of our series, What Time Is It? I hope that you're enjoying this series that we've been working through as we talk about end times, the times that we're living in. Before I do anything else, though, I would like to take a moment, as I always do in this portion of the service, to welcome those that are joining us online. So glad to have you here every week faithfully from just different places around in the world. So glad you're here. Amen. Come on, let's do that again. Come on, let's just... Yeah, we're so glad. You're part of our family, too. So glad that you're along for the ride. Want to jump right into this series. Before I do, let me just do a little shout-out to our small groups. I'm just so thankful for our small groups that are part of our church. In fact, we say around here, we're not just a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups, so I encourage you. If you're not in a small group, there's a directory there online you've been hearing about. Be sure and get connected and be a part. So I'm just so thankful. There was actually a new group that started up this week, and it's not too late to jump in on that group. And it's Financial Peace University, a Dave Ramsey course led by Dwayne Dunham. That happens on Monday evenings here at Cross Point. We do have many of our groups that meet in various locations around the city, but just wanted to mention that to you as well, and that you can avail yourself of that. Real excited about this series that we're in, and especially this particular message today. So I want to encourage you to get your message notes that are there in your worship guide to follow along with us. I believe today is going to be perhaps even eye-opening as we open the Word of God and just look at Scripture today and what the Bible has to say to us today, what God has to say to us. I want to take just a moment right here just to pause and just offer up a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this Word today. God, it's been heavy on my heart this week. And yet, as always, I struggle not with the message but the messenger. And so I pray I not get in your way. But today that you would have flow and that we'd hear not just a man's voice, but we would hear your voice speaking to us, God. That still small voice, God, that helps us, Lord, to see what we need to see, to hear what we need to hear, to do what we need to do. God, I pray for the Holy Spirit to speak, to breathe life into your word, illuminate it. God, I pray, make it alive, make it powerful, make it relative. We know that it already is, Lord, but we pray that you would appropriate it, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let our ears hear, let our hearts hear, and may we be changed as we receive and we respond. We'll give you all the credit, all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Awesome, that's awesome. I want to look at a scripture that we've been using as our foundational text for this three-part series. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, and it gives a shout-out to some men of Issachar, and it says of them that they understood the times and that they knew what Israel should do. So a couple things important there. It's important to know the times, but as we look at the time, what's really important is what we do with it. As we've been saying around here, people talk about the return of Christ or the end times. We went through the Hurricane Florence. It felt like it was an apocalypse happening, you know, with a little bit of panic. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes it's a little bit overkill. You know that. And so, but as we look at that and we see what times we're living in, it's I don't believe God wants us to panic when we talk about the end of times. I believe God wants us to understand what time it is, and whether it's Jesus comes tomorrow, today, or 1,000 years from now. We have a phrase that we say, when Jesus comes or calls. So we're not going to live 1,000 years. So really, we don't know what a day will bring. So what's important is, what time do we have? The Bible says we're to number our days. You know, and we need to be mindful of the time that we have and where we are in that time and what that we should do, what our response to that should be. And I hope that this series has breathed some hope into you and not panic, but hope and understanding really what God wants us to do with these times. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a scripture I want to share with you today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "For everything there is a season." To everything there is a season, okay? And a time, look at this, and a time for every matter under heaven. So think about that word season there. How important that is to understand the season. That phrase season or is so important. And we get the phrase then under the sun. Under the sun is listed 29 times in Ecclesiastes, either under the sun or under heaven. Is mentioned there. So it says that for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So I'm going to talk about today the difference between when we talk about time and talk about seasons. Okay, so sometimes we confuse the two, and so there is a difference between time and season. And when we talk about time, we're talking about the things that are under the sun. Under the sun. Write that down. It's things that are under the sun, and it's the stuff that's in our life. It's the life that we live. It's the things around us. When we talk about our time, it's going to the grocery store. It's our bills and getting our bills paid. It's the stuff that happens, and we never know what's going to happen in our time. We never know when we're going to wake up. And it'd be a 9/11, and who knew that that was going to happen when those people were driving to the World Trade Center or driving into New York City or getting on an airplane, what was going to happen? These are the things that are happening, and those things are real. Those things are the things that happen under heaven or under the sun. When we talk about seasons, though, seasons are those things that happen above the sun. So I like to look at it this way. It's the spiritual. It's the spiritual world. It's where I have to live in order to have peace in the natural world where I live also, right? And too bad there's a lot of people that don't know Christ and are just basically focused on the time in which they live and have no peace. People that look at the news, the negative news and all the things on social media and all the things around us, and we have no peace. We look at hurricanes that are upon us, and we see a Florence coming. I remember when Hurricane Florence was coming, I was looking at the weather, and there was actually several other hurricanes behind that. Did y'all see that on the map, on the radar? There were several that were spinning, a lot of them were coming up from Africa, like one after another. Somebody posted, "Would somebody please stop blessing the rains in Africa?" Y'all don't know that song, do you? Anyway, that's a song. Okay, bless the rains down in Africa. Anyway, but there's all these things that happen in our time. These are the things that happen in our time. North Korea, what's happening there? Things that we don't know what's happening with Iran, and are they developing nuclear weapons, and what is all happening there? If the news doesn't depress you enough, just get on social media and hear what's going on with your friends. These are things that are happening under the sun. These are the things in our time that we deal with. I think an airplane is a beautiful analogy. I know probably most of you have flown commercial planes, and you know, it may be a stormy day and it's rough and the rain and it's cloudy and you're trying to get up through that. But when it's that kind of a day, a lot of times there's turbulence and the pilot comes on and he says, "Well, you know, we may be hitting a little bit of turbulence, but we're going to get to so many thousand feet and this is going to level out. We're going to be fine, but it may be a little bit rocky while we're getting up there." And you're holding on and you're wondering and you're seeing the rain hitting the window and it's shaking. You know, is he sure about this? But after a little while, you get about 19,000 feet or so, and everything, you know, you break through those clouds and the sun is out and there's blue skies and it smooths off. I'm just saying, there's what I want to encourage us today is our times are underneath those clouds, underneath the sun, but I want to give us some hope today that there's a way that we can break through. Come on and get above the fog. Come on, get above all that stuff that's around us, right? So So there's a place that God wants us to live. And the Bible says that we live, listen to this, we could climb out above the fog and the smog, right? The Bible says that we live above the sun. It says that if we belong to Christ, we are seated in, Scripture says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, today, we're seated in the church. I get that. We're still in our time, but in our heart and in our mind, we need to remain above the sun. We look at the difference between time and season. Time refers to an incident, a situation, a happening, a moment, a time. It's when you got up today and you knew that the service started at a certain time and you did your best to get here on time and to be here because there was a time that we were going to meet. It's a time. Opposite is season. Seasons doesn't refer to it. We don't refer to it as time, but as times with an S. Dickens said, he talked about the best of times and the worst of times, right? So we're not talking about a watch. We're talking about a season. We're talking about perspective of events. Look at it this way. Season speaks of eternal things. So time is under the sun. Seasons are above the sun. Let me give you an analogy that might help us a little bit. How many like football? Depends. It depends on if your team won yesterday, right? Okay, I'm just in football, time is critical. The clock is critical. I saw late last night where Ohio State came from behind. They had enough time to come from behind, and they beat Penn State. Anybody see that? I was like, whoa. They were way down and came back. But they had enough time. But they had to do it in a certain amount of time. You know, fourth quarter's running out. My team, Florida State, we were chasing them the whole way, but we caught them at the end before the clock ran out. So time is critical. And when you look at football, you got to remember when it's important as you're looking at one game, you got to also have in perspective the season. There are teams that have lost a game but still came back and won the national championship because one game did not make the season, right? So it speaks of the season or the body of work. It's where a coach says to a team, hey, guys, I know we lost this one. But it's more than just one game. It's about the season. It's not the whole season. See, time is your watch. Season is your calendar. Somebody was given a watch once, and it had the day and the time and the year on it. And it was an elderly person that got it, and he looked at it, and he said, there's a day, and then there's a year on here. And he said, if you don't know what year it is, knowing what time it is ain't going to do you any good. You know? But time is extremely important. But we understand there's a balance of time. Let me give you a scripture. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. And the writer says, again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to all. So he's saying no matter how good or how fast you are, how much money you've got, that time and chance is still going to happen to you. And he gives a list, and these are the things, and all this is defining time. This is not in your notes, but this is extra. He says there's a time to be born. Y'all know this one. A time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. And all this is defining times. Time. But then he says of this, go back to that scripture again in verse 11, but time and chance happen to all. Steve Jobs, as intelligent as and as smart as he was, he never got to see the iPhone 10. He had enough money to buy an entire island, but yet time and chance happens to all. You know, we're talking about situations in our time, in our life. If it's real bad, you know what you call it in the South? Situation. You know, situation. We got a situation here is what we got. Here's what I want us to do, guys. I want us to relax and understand this, though, about life and about our time. And that is that, first of all, life is not perfect. Your best efforts, my best efforts, can't right all the wrongs in this life. Despite how many posts you put out there and no matter how many hashtags you put, you're not going to right all the wrongs, okay? There's a pendulum that is going to swing from time to time through our life. One time it's a job promotion. The next time it's a job loss. One day it's good weather. The next day it's Hurricane Florence. Come on. You get good cars and then you get lemons, right? At one time the Democrats win and the next time the Republicans win. And they say 4 years later they're going to kick the bums out and they get the other bums in, and that's the same ones you kicked out the last time. You know what I'm saying? There are times that life is going to throw you a fastball. And we all want fastballs because fastball is the only thing that's going to help you hit it out of the park, right? It's going to help you hit the wrong. It's only by fastballs. But life doesn't just come in fastballs. There are curveballs, there's sliders, there's knuckleballs. And if all you do is wait in the dugout until you get a fastball, you're going to be sitting in the dugout, right? And so you're going to have to learn how to hit some knuckleballs, some curveballs, and some sliders. Come on. Peyton Manning, let's go back to football. Let's switch from baseball to football. Peyton Manning, you know, he gets in a huddle and they got a plan in play. And they're ready with a plan, but they get up on the line and they look, and the defense has shifted their position, and they got to do an audible. That's why they have a defensive coordinator, and they got to change things up. And that's why he's got to yell, Omaha, things are going to change. Change the plans. Things are going to happen. The pendulum is going to switch from side to side. And for us that maybe wanted everything orderly and organized and perfect, can I tell you, we are human beings. We are not robots. McDonald's talking about, I think, getting robots to flip burgers or something. I don't know, because they're perfect. They just run all the time. But life's not perfect. Paul was shipwrecked. One time he's preaching, another time he's shipwrecked. There's a balance of time that happens. There's things that you're going to go through. You're going to be, you know, things are going to happen. There's a balance with time. But there is a balance of time with the beauty of time. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 that says this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And I want you to get this into your heart. When things go wrong, it's not weird. The Bible says, think it not strange, the fiery trials that you're going to go through, as if some strange thing has happened to you. God must hate me. God's mad at me, or I did something wrong, or I don't know why. I can't get it together. It's just, listen, it happens to all. Time and chance happens to all. And so we need to relax when the pendulum swings in a different direction than the way that we think it should go. That's why a lot of people get discouraged and bail out of this thing of church and Christianity, is because they don't understand the answer to the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Can I just say, join the club? It sounds like I'm giving you a lot of hope here today. Just hang on. We're going to give you some hope. But it's part of life. Life happens. It's living life under the sun. But here's what I want you to know. God can take everything that happens under the sun and turn it around for good. He can take that flat tire. Come on, he could take that speeding ticket. You know, Christians should never have flat tires. Christians should never, come on, should never get speeding tickets. Christians should never, I remember I was in, you know, when you got the Bible and you know God, and all this stuff should not happen to you. Oh, yes, it does. I'll never forget the time, and it really hit me, when I was going down the road and I was quoting, I was quoting Psalm 91. That's been a favorite chapter in Psalm of me and Kim. And I'm going down the road, and I'm excited, and I'm just with God, and I'm saying, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm in the presence of God. I'm riding down the road, but me and God's having a good time. But while I'm doing that, I'm getting excited, and my foot's going this way. And then I look at my rearview mirror, and there's a blue light. And I'm like, God, how can you let me get a ticket in the middle of Psalm 91? I mean, you know, it's going to happen. Life happens, right? You get a job, you get a promotion, and then the job's gone, and then you lose the job. There, whether it's the marriage or whatever it may be. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You know, the pendulum's going to swing. The Lord giveth. Come on, I got to just do some King James here. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away is the way I learned it. That pendulum's going to swing. But what is your response to that? He said, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on. So what that means is that Job, while living in his time, had an above-the-sun perspective. He had an eternal perspective. So here's what I want us to see. The secret of time, apparently, is this thing called contentment. Contentment. Paul, who had all kind of problems, learned this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. He said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. To be content. He was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was snake bit, he was thrown in prison, but yet he learned how to be content. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, he says, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. So whichever way it swings, I know how to do that. And in every situation, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. Look at this. Love it, love it. I can, come on, everybody, say it with me, do all things through him who strengthens me. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And I believe that we live in a day that people are not very content. Come on. We don't just go in and order a coffee. We order a smoothie, latte, caffeinated extra bub. I mean, you ever hear somebody give their coffee order? I heard one time somebody recorded the longest coffee order at Starbucks ever given, and it was just like, it went on and on and on. I don't even know what all that stuff is. We're just content. But time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Ecclesiastes then goes on. I encourage you to read some Ecclesiastes this afternoon or sometime this week, because it goes on to tell us how to live in our time. It says two are better than one. Because one falls down, the other can help them up. That's why we do small groups around here. It tells us that we should enjoy our work and be content and enjoy our work, right? Be happy and be satisfied with our work. You know, if you don't have a job, or let's put it this way, you say, I want a better job, I want better benefits, I want this. Well, it tells me that you've got a job, right? That's a good thing. We need to be like Fred Flintstone. Remember Fred Flintstone? Anybody older than whatever? And what was it that he said when, at the end of every day, when he was sliding down out of work, getting ready to go home, what was it he would say? Come on, y'all know it. Y'all just shy. Yabba dabba doo. Come on, we need to have a yabba dabba doo mentality to say, hey, the Lord is good. Amen. He's faithful. So blessed yesterday to stand in the parking lot outside of a place of employment and have prayer and thank God for the day and thank God for work and thank God for the opportunity. Come on. I know we're human. We have those moments. I get it. I do too. You know I do. But we need to, I believe it, the secret of time is contentment, right? I want a better job. Well, be content that you have a good job. Nothing wrong with searching for a better one, but in the meantime, be content. I wish my kids made better grades. I wish they'd straighten up and act right. Well, be glad that they're home and they're healthy and they're not in the hospital. Come on. Well, my wife, you know, she doesn't look like she used to. Well, have you looked at yourself lately, sir, with your gut hanging out? Come on, I'm just saying. Come on, be content. Be content. I know I'm just trying to use a little humor here, but it's true. I'm getting old. I'm so concerned about getting older. Oh, you know, AARP is calling. Well, be glad you're having another birthday. Better than the alternative, you know? Embrace it. A little bit of hair loss. You know, I'm not doing the Botox thing. I'm just embracing it, okay? If you want to, that's fine. But I'm just thankful for the time that I have. So we're talking about time, how important. But let me get into real quickly the seasons. Seasons. Look with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 tells us something as we move into this topic of season. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So there is something inside of us that is called, that he puts eternity inside of us. This is amazing, amazing. Think of this. Eternity. There's something different about us. There's something inside of us that we have the ability to understand not just time, but understand seasons. Understand seasons. That's why there's eternity inside of us, and there's this hole in there that's this universal size hole in there that only God can fill, that no materialism can fill. No matter what we do with our time or within our time, it doesn't satisfy that because there's eternity that's been put in our heart. That's why we're different than animals, okay? Animals know what time it is. They know when it's time to eat. They know when it's about time for you to come home. But they do not understand this aspect of season. They don't understand this aspect of eternity. God has put eternity into our heart. And when you take everything under the sun and you throw it up in the light of eternity, we discover that whatever happens in our time makes it okay. The flat tire is okay. The job loss is okay. When we see it and we look with the eyes of season into the eternal perspective, we can then understand really the balance of everything and understand the perspective of it all, and we understand that it is okay. And get this. This is a huge one to give you some hope and some encouragement. And that is that you may have messed up in time, but you can be restored in season. Somebody needs to hear that. You can be messed up in time, but you can be restored in season because God works in season. We look at time, but God looks at season. We talked about last week how God is described that a day with him is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. He looks at the big picture. It's like a picture. It's a picture of, you ever watch somebody do a picture drawing, and an artist, and they're drawing, and it doesn't make sense until they take that last stroke and it all comes together. You're thinking, what are they drawing? It looks abstract. You know, you got this and you got this mark and this mark, and none of it seems to make sense until you get to the very end of it. And can I tell you, God is the one that's going to put the last stroke on the picture of your life and make sense out of all of it. God knows what's going on, and he's in charge. We call it providence. Corrie ten Boom. Anybody ever heard of Corrie ten Boom, who was in the concentration camp there with all the persecution of the Jews and all what she went through, and she was a survivor. And, you know, why was it that she lost her family and her siblings and lost all those around her, and yet she survived? And I heard of her telling her story once, and she was holding this purple cloth with like gold threads on it the whole time in front of her while she was speaking. And it didn't make any sense. You know, what did that mean? It's just a cloth with some threads there, but you couldn't tell what was going on with that until at the end of her speech, she turned the cloth around, and it was a beautiful picture of a gold crown. And can I tell you, that's the way it is with our life. It doesn't make sense until at the very end. When we look at it in season, when we look at it in the terms of eternity, it's then that it all begins to make sense, right? It all then begins to make sense. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you." He's basically quoting from Ecclesiastes there. He's talking about referring to Ecclesiastes. "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." So let's move just a little bit into this season that we're in now, when we're talking about end times. He said that at that time, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and are left will be called up." That word called up is the word harpozo, which means to snatch. We talk about the word rapture. Really, the word rapture isn't in the Bible. It's actually, this is where we get it from, but it means to be basically called up or to be snatched. It's as if someone's purse was snatched from them. It's a moment in time that happens very quickly. It says that we will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, and I love this, therefore encourage one another with these words. So it's intended to be a word of encouragement to us. Encouragement. But we do know this, that it's going to happen in a moment and a time. There won't be time to get ready. It'll happen in a moment in time. Very quickly will it happen. So I believe, really, when we look at God's calendar, I believe probably the next event, from what most scholars and people that are experts in prophecy see, and that is that this event of Christ coming is the next thing on God's calendar of events. So we're in that season. So if we look at this morning, I want us to talk about what seasons we're in very quickly as I pull this to a close. Number one, I believe this is a season of harvest. A season of harvest. Matthew 24:14 says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So if we're in the end time, the world going crazy, everything is happening, we see fulfillment of prophecy all around us, as we've talked about through this series. Look at this. One key thing is that the kingdom of God will be preached throughout the whole world, that there is going to be a great harvest. And I know in our times, world's going crazy. We look at Iran, we look at North Korea, we look at everything closing in on Israel, and we see what's happening there. But in Scripture, we see that there's also a harvest that is going to happen. I heard just recently that there are 1 million souls. Now, we may not understand what is happening around the world, but it's my understanding that every seven days, there are 1 million souls added to the kingdom of God. Now, that's something to get happy about. We are living in the season of harvest, and we need to make sure that we are aware of that. And that being said, if this is the season of harvest, then we need to move the kingdom of God forward. Write that down. We need to move the kingdom of God forward. You know, they say in harvest time when there's wheat, when it gets really ripe, it begins to bend. It begins to get heavy at the top. It begins to bend. And you need to get that before it bows over and hits the ground. And so there's a time there that it's critical that you move and you get that harvest. When harvest comes in, they say the tractors get out there and they are harvesting as fast as they can. They don't take breaks. They just have one shift come in after another. They keep that tractor running. One jumps off and one jumps on because it's critical that you get the harvest when the harvest is ripe. Can I tell you, the harvest is ripe. Jesus even said, don't say 4 months and then come harvest, but the harvest is now. It's all around us. And I've already shared this in this series, but there are opportunities all around us. What are we doing with our time? If we know what time it is, what are we doing in this season of time? There are opportunities. There's people that are hurting all around us that are in need. You say, hey, we're in a messed up world, therefore they need hope. We're in a world that's lost, then somebody needs to see the way. We're in a world that's blind, then somebody needs to have their eyes open. Come on. And who has God chosen? We talked about this last week. God has chosen us in this season of time to reach the harvest. I know I sound a little preachy this morning, but you know, for some of you that need some preach, this is it today, okay? I mean, it's true. We are living in a season of time. And so we could sit around and we could watch all the negative news and everything and do nothing, but we need to move forward understanding this season. Number two, we are in a season of hostility. We see that everywhere. What we see in Scripture is being fulfilled. What is that? Pestilence and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and all those things. And those things have happened, yes, throughout time. But we've talked about this, and I don't have time to preach. Go back and preach another message. But you can go on its archive that talks about how that this generation is unique in fulfillment of prophecy. But we also understand that in this time that we're living, it is a season of hostility. And that's why we need to remember that we need to live above the sun, that God is not in a panic. There is a God in charge and in control, and He has an ultimate plan. Nothing has escaped His notice. Everything is being orchestrated. God is in control. Come on, amen, everybody? God is in control. Therefore, we need to lift up our heads. Look at Luke 21 and 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And look at this. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. There is a time, on God's calendar that He is going to return. And so we need to be aware that when we see all this happen, don't get discouraged and depressed and say, oh my goodness, I don't know what's happening to America. I don't know what's happening to the world. We see everything happening. The Bible says, lift up your eyes because your redemption draws nigh. Number three, we're living first in a season of harvest. We're living in a season of hostility. We're also living in a season of holiness. Of holiness. Let me give you this scripture. It's not in your notes. Daniel said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So God is in charge, and God has times and He has seasons in place. But we also, knowing this and realizing the times, then it behooves us to write this down: get ready and stay ready. Come on, if He's returning, if this is a time that we know that it is, we need to get ready and we need to stay ready. Look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. It says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Should not come on us unexpectedly. We need to realize what time it is. And so it's a time for living right. And let me just say, it is the righteousness of Jesus, and it's the holiness of Jesus that gets us into heaven. It's none of our own doing, okay? And you say, well, you know, in the past when we, and so let me just explain this, because when we get hear that word holiness, a lot of things may pop in your head. And in the past, I think we've presented holiness as nothing but a clothesline, and it's just what we wear and everything on the outside. Holiness has to do with the condition of the heart, okay? It's about what happens on the inside. It's internal. But can I add to that, if it changes on the inside, it's going to affect the outside, right? Come on. When something changes on the inside, things are going to change on the outside, and our attitude's going to change. Our perspective is going to change. The countenance of our face is going to change. We're not going to be down in the mouth. Come on, we're going to be lifting people up. We're not going to be discouraging and putting people down. We're going to be lifting them up. Amen? And we're going to be conducting ourselves in a way that's going to represent Christ. Because he is holy, and the closer we get to him, the closer we should be like him. The Bible says that we are being conformed into his image. The more I hang around my wife, guess what? The more we finish each other's sentences. We understand each other. We begin to look like each other. That's good news for me. It's probably bad news for her. But I'm just telling you, and when you get close to Jesus, and if he is holy, then guess what? We should also have that characteristic show up in our life. Is this okay? So, and let me just share this with you. This is a little extras, but not in your notes. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment. Now, I love this because it ties right into what we're talking about, being content in our time. It says that godliness, in other words, you get this above the sun, right? Godliness with contentment, come on, makes everything content, is great gain. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now just think about that. Let that one settle. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says this, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. So he said that day shouldn't come upon us unaware. No, we should be alert. We should be sober. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So there should be a difference in how we live. Come on. When you come to Jesus and you meet him, you go a different way. Things change. This is good preaching. I'll just amen myself. All right. So, because it's God's word, not mine. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So if something happens on the inside of you, let me just pastor the church for just a moment. When something happens in you, it should affect what comes out of you. It is about what goes in your mouth, but it's also about what comes out of your mouth. So if something happened inside of you, come on, it should affect what comes out of your mouth. It should affect what comes out of your fingers on social media. Come on. It should affect your attitude. It should affect your dress. It should affect how you look. It should affect how you conduct yourself. It should affect how you respond to this world. Come on, because look, we're having above the sun perspective. And so we're going to live, because we've connected with him, in this world in a different way. We're in this world, but not of this world. Is this okay? Let me give you one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 11 says, but you are not in darkness. So he said, you shouldn't be surprised by that day when it comes. Why? Because you're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake. Be aware. Don't just focus on the times. Keep it in perspective. Be awake. Be sober. How we live our life, right? For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk are drunk in the night. Verse 8 says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Be sober-minded. This is, right, how we live. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not, I love this, here's the hope, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain, one version says, to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So this scripture is basically saying, in whatever case we find ourselves in our time, we have eternal hope in him. I've heard some crazy stuff recently where somebody was shot mowing their grass. Somebody was knifed jogging. I mean, we live in that kind of a world, but what do you do in that kind of world? Listen, you can't threaten me with heaven. Come on, if I die, I'm going to heaven, and it's still good, no matter what happens in this world. Come on, Paul said for me to die is to gain, right? Right? For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. There's nothing you can touch me with. You know, come on, who? MC Hammer, can't touch this, right? I'm just saying, this pendulum in life is going to swing from side to side. And I don't know whether you're on the back side of that or where you are. I don't know where you are with that. But there's another side of life. There's an eternal perspective to this thing. And if all you've got is just this temporary perspective, you're in a sad, sad place. But I'm here to give you hope. There's more to it than meets the eye. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? You know, it's a wonderful thing to have the peace of God. Just a peace. Things are going crazy in the midst of, and that doesn't mean you're happy about everything. It doesn't mean you're jumping up and down and really enthusiastic about everything that comes your way in life. No, of course not. But in the midst of it, there's a peace that we can have. And it comes from allowing God to rule and reign in our life. It comes from allowing him to fill that space inside of us that he created, that eternal place. He put it in our hearts. And you can search everywhere, but you'll never find true contentment. You'll never enjoy peace until you receive him. I felt the Lord just really drop this in my spirit this week. I didn't write this down, but he reminds me of it. I'm reminded of it even now. Peace is not in a place. Peace is not in a position. Come on. Peace is not in a promotion. Peace is not in prosperity. Peace is in the person of Jesus Christ. And you can know him today. You're here today and you need that peace. You need to know him. You need to have a right relationship with him. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you come to the front or anything. I'm just right where you're seated. I want to lead you in a prayer. But if you're here today and you know you need to surrender your life to him, you need that peace. I want to give you an opportunity to allow him to come into your life. And when he does that, listen, the old, yesterday, all of that changes. He comes in and he makes everything brand new. He settles our past. He gives us a new future. He gives us a new heart, a new beginning. And he's going to do it today. If you're watching online, I invite you to join us. If you're here today, if that's you, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in that? Would you count me in that? I just want to know who I'm praying with. Would you just slip up a hand? You can put it right back down. Just say, that's me. Yes, good job. Good job. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see you. Yes, good job. Yes. Would you just, from your heart, pray this prayer? I'm just going to help you with the words, but all you've got to do is mean it. If you're watching online, I invite you to join us. If you're here in this house, just join us. In fact, I'd like everybody to pray this prayer out loud just to encourage and support those that are praying it. Come on. From your heart. Here it is. Let's pray this. Just say, today, God, thank you for eternity. Thank you for life through Jesus. Thank you for a life beyond this life that makes this life make a lot more sense. God, I need you. I need your peace. I need your presence. I invite you now into my life. Forgive me for going my way. God, I surrender to you because your way is better. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me as I now turn from my sins and my past. Today I invite you to come in my heart. Make me brand new on the inside. Change me. And with all my heart, I'll follow you. I accept you now. Come on, say this. And I give you my life. I declare today, you are my Lord. You're in charge. And I'm going to follow you as you help me. Thank you, Lord, for every person who prayed that prayer and needed to pray it. God, I bless them, Lord. I celebrate what the best decision of their life that they've ever made. God, I celebrate with them. I pray, God, that you would help them today. God, to follow you one day, one step at a time. I thank you for your peace now. Lord, may they experience the peace of God as they follow you, as they live this out, as they walk in relationship with you, God. God, give them an eternal perspective. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Eternity is forever. Help us remember what time it is. Help us to follow you now, God, with all of our heart. As a church, help us to redeem the time that you've given us, the opportunities that you've given us, that we can make a difference in our time for eternity's sake. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.